This is HNN.
Good evening. This is HNN, the Holotable News Network. It's your not even remotely close to around-the-clock Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes news, reactions, reviews, theory crafting, and more source. I'm Pico Burrito, your host. Today, we are joined by my special co-host, Celiac Sarah. Sarah, how are you this fine Friday evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I wish we were live right now. I'm sporting my Father's Day gift. The family got me a Star Wars T-shirt of the month club, so I could wear them live on the podcast. And then, so we need to get the podcast actually live and back. So,
sport
my new shirt. So, but yeah, but we're a little later this week. Health, work, life got in the way, which surprising we've made it actually this long of doing it. I think it's the first time that we've had to delay an episode for just kind of, you know, life getting in the way, which is not a bad thing. So
no, not at all. So yeah, I'm still dealing with my cold. So if I'm going to try and mute myself if I have to cough, hopefully it's fine. But yeah, it worked out though, because we've got so much.
We do. We've got a ton. I went to go and check the show notes and put some updates in it, and I was like, oh, Captain Rex. I'm like, oh, Sarah hasn't been and actually, you know, started the show notes yet. And I'm like, oh, no, it's been 2 weeks. Captain Rex wasn't here the last time that we did the show. So
yeah, I did the same thing. I started the show notes and I'm like, oh yeah, Rex.
Yeah, Rex is there. Like, that was a big deal for a period of time. So, so we've got, you know, headlines. We've got three new things coming out this week. Of course, we got the title update. We got Jedi Knight Cal Kestis JKCK.
I don't like that.
Yeah, although that kind of sounds like a DKNY shirt, you know, if you think about it from that way, which is getting back in the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
And then we got the Captain Rex marquee, which I'll be honest, I'm super excited about that Captain Rex marquee. I may be trying to pull a Mr. H and writing a variation to that Beatles song called Sexy Rexy Meter Maid. But, you know, we'll see if that gets into something that we can release.
Amazing. I don't even know. Like, there's so much. Do we want to just start with Rex? I feel like, unfortunately, he's probably the lesser of all of them.
Yeah, because I think that if we start with Rex, because the title update in Jedi Knight Cal are kind of, they're all tied together from that perspective. So let's jump in with Rex.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I'll start reading because I know you're trying to get a little one to sleep right now. And probably mom standing over the top of him talking isn't always the easiest thing in the world. So, all right, Captain Rex. He is a light side support clone trooper, Phoenix, rebel, and rebel fighter. This is a new Phoenix character. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now, the first thing I noticed when I saw this, do you know anything different about the little title card for him?
Oh. Yeah, it does look different.
There's no recommended teammates.
Yeah.
And it wasn't on Cal either.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going away from that.
I wonder if they don't want to like hint at things anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. So we're gonna kind of stay out of the key attributes. We'll kind of get into the kit. And I think the biggest thing is from an inspiration from anyone who saw him, this is the Rex as we saw him in Rebels, because he is a Phoenix. So he's kind of old man, he's got the big beard. You know, the image that they use of him in the advertisement does look like Temera from the clones in the movies. But then kind of when in the game, I think he looks a little bit more like the Phoenix character from that side, which again is old Rex is always my favorite. I did hear listening to Gambit, they were talking about, you know, what are we going to call him? He is Sexy Rexy. I'm sorry, but that's just the answer that he's going to be for a while. So
I haven't heard any other than like Old Man Rex, but Old Man Rex just sounds silly.
It does. It does. I think there's better name for him than Old Man Rex. And I think we also need to hold out hope that we may actually get the bearded wonder from Return of the Jedi there as well.
Mm.
So let's jump into this. His basic, aim, then fire, always a good idea. Final text, deal physical damage to target enemy twice. Whenever this attack scores a critical hit, dispel all debuffs on Captain Rex and another random clone trooper or Phoenix ally. So not a bad thing.
Nope.
Pretty straightforward. That's not a bad thing to have. And so let's jump into special one. Master Marksman, cooldown of 3 and a Zeta.
Mm-hmm.
Deal physical damage to target enemy and stun them for one turn. If this attack scores a critical hit, all allies recover 15% health and protection. If this attack defeats the target enemy, reset all the cooldowns of Clone Trooper and Phoenix allies. So again, nice little single target stun. And again, a little bit of health and protection recovery, which we're going to hear a lot about in this kit.
Mm-hmm.
Keep this when we kind of get into some of the other pieces, especially around what Zepho is, keep this ability in mind, because this is going to be pretty key as we start kind of looking at what we can do in Zepho. Or
yeah.
Or I hope you're ready to whale up Rex if you want to do well on Zepho, if you're going to get to Zepho.
Right.
So special two, suppressing fire. Inflict tenacity down, which can't be evaded, and daze on all enemies for 2 turns. Deal physical damage to all enemies and inflict offense down for 2 turns. Clone Trooper and Phoenix allies gain 5% turn meter for each debuff inflicted by this ability. And all allies gain critical chance up and offense up for 2 turns.
That
now,
was nice.
I was under the impression that you could not resist tenacity down.
I don't know.
Although can't be evaded, that would be foresight, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That.
Yeah.
That would make sense. So it's, yeah, I don't think you can resist tenacity down, but which can't be evaded makes sense, because then you would, this would still actually get in under foresight in those cases. So again, nice little set of debuffs. Tenacity down on anything is great, especially when you look at, like, you know, Sabine's got a pretty insane set of debuffs kind of coming in following in after that.
And so if I'm reading this correctly, assuming this works in the order that it's worded, tenacity down would get applied first.
Yes.
And then you would do the damage inflicting offense down once they've already got tenacity down.
Yeah.
So you're going to land that, because tenacity, yes, down is like, you're not going to,
correct,
resist, so, anything.
So they actually called that out in the notes, that this is one of these cases that they've somehow magically fixed this. Apply a debuff, then do damage and everything else underneath it, because they've always said the order of operations, they couldn't do that.
Right.
That seems to be magically fixed for Rex.
Interesting.
So I think that leads to the question, is this fixed in the game? Is it fixed, yeah, in the code base of the game, or is it,
is it the way,
see it in other characters? Yeah.
Is it the way Rex is coded specifically?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So I think the more interesting piece of that is, we know that they've got the ability to do it moving forward. So do we start seeing some interesting things from that point forward? So unique one, the Lost Commander, which is a Zeta and an Omicron. Final text, Captain Rex gains 25% critical chance, 40% max health, 25 speed, and 40% tenacity. So let's put a pin in this for a second, because there's a whole bunch going on here. And again, for folks that may be just catching up, the one thing to keep in mind is, because Rex is tagged as Phoenix,
yep,
he gets all of the Phoenix unique abilities, and he shares his unique with the rest of the Phoenix. So all of this gets applied to all the other characters in the kit.
Yep. All the other Phoenix characters, yeah, are getting 25% crit chance, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct. And the two biggest problems with the Phoenix right now is, they are, because they're older characters, they are historically poor health and protection.
Yeah.
And they are fundamentally slow across the board. Like I had, as we talked about the last episode, as I'm kind of trying to pull up all the Phoenix, and after I got Ezra up to a full set of 6A, even at, if I were to put 150 speed set on him, the best I could hope for would be about 300 speed.
Which is insane.
Insane that they're that slow. So 25 speed for them is a big help from that perspective. They're a little bit tankier. They're a little bit beefier. So final text, that again, that's the buff piece. Whenever any other Phoenix ally uses a special ability, Rex assists dealing 40% less damage, which means all Phoenix assist dealing 40% less damage.
Because they're going to get this.
Because they get this. This is still part of this. They get all of this piece of it. So now, whenever a clone trooper ally falls below 50% health, they recover 35% health and protection, limit once per turn, and gain 50% defense and tenacity up for 2 turns. That the Phoenix don't get. That's a, we'll talk about kind of in a second why the clone troopers are relevant in this.
Yeah.
Then the next clause, whenever a clone trooper or Phoenix ally is inflicted with a debuff, Rex gains 5% turn meter per debuff, and all allies recover 5% health and protection. So as an example, if you tried to say, I don't know, Bad Batch, the Phoenix.
Right.
That first move by Echo probably just got Echo killed.
Right, because they're all going to...
They're going to all get probably another 15 to 30% turn meter. Somebody's going to use a special ability, and Echo is going to be really, really hurt.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, very cool. Again, nice. All of this is shared. Now we get into the Omicrons. And the Omicrons are a really interesting idea that it has different functions in 5v5 than 3v3. So there's two different versions of this, but, and CG confirmed this, all of the Phoenix pieces of the Omicron will also carry over to the rest of the Phoenix in Grand Arena. So everything from the Omicron down, this is all going to get all those other cool Phoenix characters. So while in Grand Arena, Rex gains 30% critical damage and an additional 60% max health and 25 speed. So they're all getting 100% health and 50 speed in Grand Arena.
Holy crap.
While in 5v5 Grand Arena, all allies are Phoenix at the start of battle. Whenever an ally is inflicted with ability block or daze, they dispel it and inflict 2 stacks of damage over time on all enemies for 3 turns. That's craziness.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And think about that. That also generates turn meter back for them as well. So they're going to get a debuff. They're going to dispel it, and they're going to get 5% turn meter for doing that.
Yeah. Oh man.
Those damage over times can't be evaded or resisted. Whenever Captain Rex uses his basic ability, he recovers 10% health and protection, which he should be doing all the time because he's assisting.
Yeah.
So on the Phoenix side. For the clone troopers, while in 3v3 Grand Arena and all allies are clone troopers at the start of the battle, whenever an ally assists, they have a 50% chance to dispel all buffs on the target enemy and inflict armor shred until the end of the encounter, which can't be evaded or resisted. So nice little piece for the clones. I have seen some of the testing with the Omicron. Phoenix were actually, and I take that back, this was not GAC testing. This is arena testing. So no Omicron, and there is no Datacron specific to the Phoenix out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they were beating a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah.
So they were beating, I think we saw Rebels. I think we saw Gas. I think we saw Zori.
That's nuts.
And I think that they were getting close on a couple of Galactic Legends, if I remember correctly. Which means that, you know, the Omicron may be enough to push them up over the top.
That is insane. Can you imagine? And obviously, like, we haven't seen this yet, so this is just, like going way, way down. But if they're getting close on Galactic Legends without the Omicron, Holy crap. I can't imagine what it would look like with one.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun. My thought around this kit, my initial hope was that you could turn this into Hera, Rex, Ezra, Chopper, and Zeb as a team. And then I'd like Kanan with EP Starkiller, because I like old Ben to keep on a Jedi Knight Revan and Jedi Knight Luke team.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sabine can flex onto a Mando team if needed.
Yeah, I agree.
What we're going to see coming up is all of that gets blown up because Jedi Knight Luke and Jedi Knight Revan are going somewhere else now.
Right.
So old Ben is now available. So probably Kanan probably does end up being the tank, because he's probably a little bit of a better tank than Chopper is, and kind of what he does from an ability perspective. So
yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Because Chopper actually, and I was looking at this the other day, Chopper is one of the few characters in the game that still don't have a Zeta.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Other Phoenix do. He never got a Zeta when they went back and added Zetas to that whole team.
Oh man. The other thing too is, like, let's say Kanan does go back in there. You could just move Chopper to your swordy team.
You could. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So it's not like everyone's going to have a home at the end of the day.
Yeah.
This is a nice kit. I also really like that the Grand Arena Omicron works in both 3v3 and 5v5. I kind of wish they would do that for all of them.
I do too.
Because it would make it considerably more appealing to use that resource.
And I don't really think the 3v3 Omicron is that attractive. But if they could find a way, like take Aphra as an example, because she's mm-hmm. got some of those 5v5 only Omicrons. If they could find a way to give it a less attractive 3v3 clause, at least you have the potential to use it the entire time. Like if you're unlocking Phoenix and you're putting an Omicron on Rex, you're going to be able to use him in all game in all of those, where especially for earlier on in the game, I think it makes a lot of advantage to that point. So
mm-hmm.
Were you surprised that they actually that they put something in to make Phoenix good again?
Yeah. I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised that it was Phoenix already. I wasn't, or I shouldn't say that, to be honest with you. I wasn't surprised though, because they've been doing this with a lot of squads. They've been going back and being like, here, look at Tuskens now, right?
Yep.
Like, you can have this added and now you're all good. I can't say I'm too surprised it's Phoenix, because they do have, like, you were working on them. They had, and you were trying your hand at that mission and territory battle, right? So I'm not totally surprised that they would be like, hey, you're going to relic them up to do this mission. Why don't we add a little sweetener to it?
The only thing that surprised me about it is, I think, and again, in 12 months, which again is a long way off, or even now, frankly, if you wanted to focus on it a little bit, it's harder to convince someone maybe to walk away from Phoenix, especially if they're beating Galactic Legends for some of the content creators that are testing, or they're getting close to that, I'm going against some pretty tough teams. If you're starting out, like, Rex may be like a world beater in some of these, and if there's some advantage to that, like the get the Phoenix up to unlock Thrawn and then you let them go, people may not let them go now. And I just don't know if that's what CG wants, or do they really even care at this point anymore?
I think, though, what I particularly like with him, though, is that he works on two different squads, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, even if you did want to let go of Phoenix, okay, you can plug him in if you wanted to with your clones. Especially if you don't have gas yet.
Yep, that's a good point.
Like, that's a big deal, I think. I'm also curious, because you tried the Phoenix mission, correct? A couple of times?
Correct.
And it did not bode, because they're kind of wet noodly.
I got it down once. So the phase one is just some Empire troopers. Phase two is Thrawn, two Death troopers, and maybe some tanks. I got it down to two characters at one point, but it was very much you had to do an evaluation at every turn. What was the right, like you're going against Thrawn, you had to treat every turn special. This one, I think you're just going to hit auto and be done.
I was going to say, because now you just throw Rex in there with you.
Yes.
Man, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. Because there's a modifier on the event that the rebels get, or I think Phoenix get undispellable riposte,
Yep.
maybe. So when they attack, everybody kind of goes like the first wave, you don't do anything. Basically, it's just they take a bunch of turns and you kill them by counters and
Countering.
everything. It'll be interesting. This might just be kind of a turn on auto and go at that point. So sadly, I decided that a couple other things going on later this year. I am not gonna start going hog wild on the next set of characters because this is probably so, and it came out and I'm like, oh, I kind of just want to wail on this already, and I've just decided that's not a great idea. So
I don't blame you.
yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, but he looks good.
He does. He does.
And it's just a matter of if he is just here because he's here or he's here for other reasons.
Yeah, that's the other one. The other note that I'll make with Rex and what's interesting is he is tagged as a rebel fighter.
Yeah.
And right now the Saw mission is painfully difficult to do. And I wonder if Rex is actually the secret to the Saw mission as well.
Interesting.
So we'll have to see some folks that get a chance to test on that.
Yeah, I'm curious because his kit is so specific to clones and
Yeah.
Phoenix.
But it does have a nice little stun mechanic in it with a pretty relatively simple cooldown, and we'll have to see. You know, who knows? That nothing on his unique is going to help that other from the other side, unless no, you couldn't put any because none of the rest of the Phoenix are rebel fighters. I say, what if it was Saw, Rex, and then like three Phoenix? Although the bonus piece comes from Hera's lead, so yeah, we'll
Yeah.
have to see where it shakes out. So that's
All right.
Rex.
Easy.
Do we want to jump into the title update or do we want to jump into Cal?
Let's do Cal,
Okay.
and then we can piece apart the title update.
Okay. Do you want me to read it or do you want to or?
I can read it.
Okay.
I just might drink some water. Okay,
Fair enough.
so Jedi Cal, so this is the what's the word I'm looking for? The one
Journey
that
guide.
we've all, yeah, the
Yeah.
journey guide tune, that's the one, the unlock, that we've all been kind of waiting for. And he's out now. Like the event is now for a week, I
Yes,
believe.
till the 5th.
And then it goes away for however long. They did say, and I'm glad Bodhi actually pointed this out to me because I completely missed it. And they did say that his cadence is going to be similar to other heroes' journey and legendary events,
Okay.
which leads me to conclude that that means he will be back in 3 months.
Yep, I do. It makes me think that as well.
Right, because Grand Inquisitor is the only outlier there.
Yep.
So, okay. Anyway, moving on. So his kit, I did read it and I kind of understand it, but it's wordy and convoluted. It's interesting though.
It is. I think what may help reading this or the way that I went about it, there's a concept of if you don't have one of his stances,
Yeah.
it keeps repeating this, like if it doesn't have the stance, then lose the stance and gain a stance
Right.
thing over. I think it makes sense to just now read that piece.
Right.
And it's a little bit easier to get, like, that was written by a developer, not by a user, someone who writes user guides.
Right. Okay. So before I even get into it, I'm just going to preface it by saying that when he goes on his turn, the only move you have access to is your basic.
Yep. Correct.
So we'll just put that out there, because then you'll understand once we go into this. So his basic ability, less civilized age, deal physical damage to target enemy and dispel all buffs on them. If it is Jedi Knight Cal Kestis's turn, unblock, whirlwind, slam, windmill defense, and impetuous assault for one turn. So those are his specials. Yep. And then he gains a bonus turn. So he does his basic, immediately gets to take another turn. And during that turn, he can only use one of those special abilities.
Yep.
And he gets to ignore taunt.
Which is huge.
Yeah. Huge.
That is massive.
Like, huge. Like you're going up against Jabba and you get to ignore Big K over there.
Yeah.
Like, beautiful. Anyway, so really straightforward basic. So every turn you get with him, you do his basic and then you take another turn. So special one, Whirlwind Slam. This is an Omicron as well. All of his Omicrons are for territory battles. Spoiler alert. So again, this goes into, like, if he doesn't have this, then he gains. So he's going to get the double bladed configuration for this. And 5 stacks of Impetuous to a max of 30 until the end of the encounter. Deal physical damage and inflict speed down for 2 turns on all enemies. If Jedi Cal didn't have double bladed at the start of his turn. So if you didn't use this move the last time, I guess.
Yep.
All allies gain advantage for 4 turns. You stun the target enemy for 1 turn and inflict them with armor shred for the rest of the encounter. Daze all other enemies for 2 turns.
Yeah.
Like, beautiful. And when he has double bladed, he gets 50% offense and tenacity plus 2 speed per stack of Impetuous.
So this is the piece, and I'm going to look at it in just a minute, but I can't tell. The way that I read this is that there must be a buff associated with this as well that he gets to maintain in between turns. And I just don't remember seeing that, although frankly, there's a lot going on the couple of times that I've used him. So, mm-hmm.
You mean I guess buff for his configurations?
For the 50% offense and the 2 speeds of her Impetuous, because really kind of the statement at the start, you know, if it doesn't have the configuration, he loses the other configurations and gains this one.
Yeah.
What that's saying is that, so if you use this ability for the first turn or in your first turn or your second turn, you use the next one, you should lose the offense and tenacity up.
Right.
The offense, tenacity, and purse speeds of Impetuous. But I just didn't see anything that made me recognize where that was. I'm just like, what was it, a blue buff or whatever? I've got to take a look at it.
Yeah. I'm curious. I wonder if that's just in the coding somehow and it's not actually visualized.
Yeah.
So that's good. It's a good point though. Okay. So his Omicron for this, the next time he uses windmill defense. So that's his other, special. He recovers 50% health and protection and gives all allies protection up 20% stacking for 2 turns for each use of Whirlwind Slam since the last use of Windmill Defense. If he didn't have double bladed, instead of what he was gaining before, all allies are going to gain advantage for 4 turns. That's still there. Stun all enemies for 1 turn and inflict armor shred for the rest of the encounter. So AoE stun and AoE armor shred. Like, that's ridiculous.
And I'm looking at it now. He does pick up a blue buff. So there's a blue buff associated with the configuration that he just previously used. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So This is basically saying, like, if you had this Omicron in particular, you wouldn't necessarily want to switch between your specials. You might want to do this one back to back a couple of times if you really wanted to get more protection up.
And also, in this is really important in territory battles, especially on the light side missions where you get all the stacked characters, because your armor shreds just make it so much easier to burn through the stacks that way. So you can stack, you know, four armor shreds up on in four turns in a row.
Yeah.
So
it's huge.
Huge time saver.
Okay, so that's his first special. Second special is windmill defense, but this is a Zeta. So if he doesn't have dual wield, so this is his other configuration, he's going to gain it. He also gains 5 stacks of Impetuous. Dispel all debuffs on all allies and call target other ally to assist. Jedi Knight Cal gains protection up 50% stacking for 4 turns, which can't be copied. If he didn't have dual wield at the start of his turn, so again, if you didn't use windmill defense as his last special last time, Jedi Cal is going to gain riposte for 2 turns, which can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented. He gains protection up 20% stacking and retribution for 2 turns, and target other Jedi ally gains a bonus turn. When he has dual wield, he has plus 100% counter chance and plus 50% defense. Enemies have minus 2% offense per stack of Impetuous. When another ally attacks out of turn, this character is called to assist, limit once per turn.
Yeah, like, that's pretty nice.
That's nice.
Yep.
Like, oh, so those are the two main specials. Then he's got his third one, Impetuous Assault. It's a Zeta and an Omicron. So this configuration is called Cross Guard. Same idea. He loses it, gains it. However, with this one, instead of gaining 5 stacks of Impetuous, he's losing 5 stacks when you use the special. So the first time Impetuous Assault is used, this encounter instantly defeat the target enemy. Deal physical damage to target enemy, inflict target enemy with ability block and stagger for 1 turn, and inflict all enemies with force influence for 4 turns. All other allies gain defense penetration up for 2 turns. When he has cross guard, plus 50% crit damage and defense penetration, minus 25% defense and speed. Deal an additional 25% of his character's max health as damage when attacking. Pretty straightforward.
Yep.
While in territory battles, so this is the Omicron, Impetuous Assault deals an additional 10% of the target's maximum health per Jedi Knight Cal Kestis's Relic Amplifier level. So this is similar to like the Galactic Legend Relic level amplifier. After Impetuous Assault is used, Jedi Cal attacks ignore protection and all allies gain 300% of Jedi Cal's base offense for the rest of the battle. Oh man, this ability can't be used unless Jedi Cal has 30 stacks of Impetuous. So you got to get to 30 first.
Yep.
And then you can go and instantly kill somebody.
And the way that he builds up stacks, that's essentially his fourth turn.
Right.
He gets it on his fourth turn. He gets it.
Yeah.
What I learned the hard way in Arena is that while it is an instant kill, it is not an execute or an annihilate.
So they can be revived.
So Reva came back. She came back pissed off. So not great. Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that. Okay. Leader, Weight of the Galaxy, also an Omicron. Jedi allies gain plus 50% defense, counter chance, and offense. Straightforward.
Yep.
Omicron, though. At the start of the battle, allies gain 100% max health and max protection and 300% of Jedi Cal's defense. So, giant FU. At the start of each encounter, so again, territory battles, so for each wave, allies gain plus 25% turn meter and frenzy for 2 turns. Yeah. defeated enemies can't be revived.
Yep.
And stacks of impetuous persist across encounters. That is huge. That last line.
Yes. Because what I found today.
Yes. Yes.
Is impetuous can be used. You get the bonus first time use in every wave.
Oh, so if you go to 30 in wave one, you can instantly kill someone.
Yep.
And then in wave two, you can instantly kill someone again.
Correct.
Oh, that's nice.
And you can do it first move over there because I actually rolled in with 30 first move and took out one of the reviving clone trooper, the clone trooper medic.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's really nice.
That's even nicer. I did not think that would be the case.
I didn't either. I didn't, which make when you saw it as the 30 stacks, like there's some advantages to some of like the offense and those pieces, but the fact that it allowed the insta-kill, I'm like, oh yeah, that's pretty hot. So.
Oh, that makes it even more worthwhile.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I wonder if it's supposed to, like, should we not say anything?
It did not work. I'm sorry. Did I say that it worked? It didn't work. I think it crashed my game.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should probably never try it again.
But that's it. That's his leadership. Super straightforward and plain. And then he has his unique Jedi survivor, which is a Zeta. Jedi Cal is immune to ability block, fear, and stun.
Yep.
When another Jedi ally attacks out of turn, Jedi Cal recovers 10% health. All Jedi allies are immune to cooldown manipulation from enemies. When a Jedi ally is inflicted with fear, they gain damage immunity for one turn and 60% turn meter. Okay. Whenever Jedi Cal gains a configuration, so whenever he's doing his specials, he gains 5 stacks of Impetuous, max of 30, until the end of the encounter. And Impetuous, he gets plus 1% offense, minus 1% defense.
Yep.
Abilities have additional effects, yada yada. So basically, because of his unique, whenever you do one of his specials, you're actually gaining 10 stacks.
Correct.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. He sounds so fun on paper, and he looks fun.
He is, but you really have to think about him in two different ways. He's a very different character in territory battle.
Yeah.
Not because of the Omicron, but because he's going to be the leader. Like that's the reality of
right. Okay.
In every other game mode, he's going to be a supporting character. And he is acting a bit as a Jedi Master Luke lifter, although I don't think it's cat level where it sits. But so I made a couple. I unlocked him and I ran him up to Relic 8 yesterday. And I put his leader Omicron on him just to see what he could do. Actually, someone in our guild ran him and said, yeah, he probably works with really bad Jedis. I'm like, well, let's see. So I put the leader on Omicron on him. I went to the bottom of my list and I put the 4 worst Jedis. So it was Jedi Guardian, it was Luminara, it was Barriss, and it was Amagundi. And
like of all, I'm a Gundy.
Yeah, they finished at essentially 100% health and protection through the entire mission.
It's crazy.
What it was shocking how bad those characters are and what they do. Now, the other Omicrons help in those cases, but here's the weird twist of that is you need to have those Jedis relic'd up, which means it's not going to be useful for a lot of people. Now, you can do things with a lot of Jedis for that side. So if you have like maybe Ezra and Kanan ranked up because you're working with your Phoenix, you've got an option that's there as well. But legitimately, you should be able to run 3 Jedi teams now in territory battles.
Right. Which is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I agree with you. Outside of territory battles, you're going to be using him underneath a different leader.
Yeah.
So, because really he's there for his unique.
Yep. So I've been playing around with in squad arena with him in a couple teams, and the core has been Jedi Master Luke lead, Knight Revan, Knight Luke, Knight Kestis, and then I flipped between trying Bastila in her Datacron and Hermit Yoda. So trying to see where things fit. I have beaten some of the thick Lord Vader teams with them. But what's so there's a couple of things that were kind of, I thought were super interesting playing around with it. First, he still can use Jedi Master Luke's Jedi teaching ability on his basic part of his turn, but he doesn't get the follow-on ability for that. What it means is it takes a lot longer to get to Master Luke's ultimate because there's just zero reason. You want to build the stacks of Impetuous up so quickly
so that you can kill somebody.
Yeah, that you're skipping using it on every one of his turns. The other is because, and I could have, this might not have been the right play, but because I kept calling Cal with Jedi teaching,
yep.
Luke got like two turns in all of the fights.
Oh, really?
He just, so I don't know if I was doing it right that way, but it was one of those like, you know, like, oh yeah, like he got a stun off and maybe he got his special blind and maybe one or two basics and that was it. So it's a fun team. It feels like I'm missing something.
Right.
I mean, it could be just because I'm not running it the right way, but it'll be a fun team to use. But I do think that the foundation of that will be Master Luke, Knight Revan, Knight Luke, and Kestis. The four of them together, and the fifth one will be whatever makes sense. And that was kind of what CG said, is that you know, kind of their view was let's, you know, he's there to, there's a number of really good leads, whether it's Jedi Knight Luke, Jedi Knight Revan. There's a lot of teams that you're going to be able to build with him coming out of that. He really is a really good plug and play Jedi into a lot of those teams.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited for him. Like I said, I'm not going to go crazy and get him. I was looking at it and I need 120 shards of Saw.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit less than that actually by now, but about 120. About 130 of Marin and close to 150 of Tarful. So
that's,
I'm
a
like,
lot.
It's a lot. If I was closer, I'd consider it. I'm like, but then when you get Leviathan coming too, I'm like, it's a lot. And I was really nervous that we were not going to see him come back around for the second run for months, like Grand Inquisitor. But because Bodhi did point out, like, no, they said he's going to have a similar cadence, that makes me feel like I can wait.
Yeah. I also, you know, the one thing what I've seen on the unlock is there are a number of people that unlocked Cal with G12 character. So it's one of those that if you're close and you can get, you don't need to, it's not like these events where they say, oh, you can unlock him at gear 12, but reality, you need to be in relics because of the difficulty. It wasn't a very difficult mission at all to get him unlocked from that side. And as we see when we get into the territory update, he's a fun character. I don't think he's going to fundamentally shift the meta too much kind of in PvP. He'll change some things, but you know, the real use for him is in territory battles to unlock Zepho. And as we'll see, it has to be you and 29 of your closest friends who unlock him. So, you know, it's not a reason to go crazy if your guild's not ready to go after it either. So
exactly.
The other thing I want to point out in this kit, because I've seen this a lot from CG lately, and I actually really like this. And if we go back to the, you know, the great nerfing, you know, what is probably 2 years ago, where they said part of the reason why they were doing this is they were trying to bring defense as importance back into the game. We've been seeing them play a lot with the defense stat over the last 6 months, and it's really made a change. Like this thing of like giving, you know, 100% max health and protection, but 300% of Cal Kestis's defense. Like it's interesting how they're using that defense stat and how they can really kind of play with that to make teams tankier or things like that, but without having to turn it into, this character now has a million hit points.
Right.
Yeah. So I like that they're kind of using that as a mechanic in the game right now. It's putting some value kind of back in those stats.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to see because it's different. They haven't done it. So I like that they're not just focusing on the same thing over and over and over.
Now we do also those starting to see that become kind of the go-to move. Mm-hmm. So, you know, folks, it's great that you're doing something different, but let's not be so different that that's what we do all the time now. Let's find some other, you know, ways to move some things around. So
pick something else next time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So those are the kits.
Yep.
Do we want to talk about title update?
I think we should. Like, I think there's some interesting things.
I think that's no moon.
That was. Now, yep, okay. I just wanted to make sure that as we didn't skip anything. So there was a ton in this title update. And we knew what we knew we were gonna get Cal. We knew we were gonna get Zepho. But we got some other bonus stuff that we'll kind of talk about and that I think were some pretty phenomenal enhancements to the game that we weren't expecting to see.
Yeah, it wasn't all expected stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know where do we start.
Let's start at the top. Let's start with, you know, Zepho was this thing that everyone like, we're getting Cal, we're getting Zepho. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do my impression of Planet Zepho really quick.
Okay.
It's just a big fart. That's all that it really is. Such a letdown.
It is. And like, I know. Okay. So before I say what I'm going to say, the entire title update is good. It's not a letdown.
Yeah.
It is good. Zepho itself is a letdown. And for me, because they had talked about territory battles being modular and they were going to introduce new planets and new zones and all this kind of stuff. And they talked about Zepho. They had kind of already teased it. That for me, like, that's what I was expecting out of this title update. Especially once, like, at the beginning when they, the beginning of the month, when they put out the calendar and we saw territory battles had moved, I immediately was like, they're moving it because Cal is coming, which means Zepho is coming. That is the only reason to move territory battles. Like, that is the only reason why this is happening. So for me, like, I was hyper focused on what's going to be in Zepho. What are we going to need? What are the platoons going to be? What's going to be there? What are the rewards? Like, that's what I wanted. And then I read this and I was like, this is lame.
Yeah.
Like, this was just, I feel like they had such a good opportunity to do something different, and especially because, like, it's a bonus zone, so it doesn't have to be the same as the rest of TB.
Yeah.
You already have a player base that is wanting time management, that is trying to stay engaged. It is hard to stay engaged with every single game mode because there's something going on all of the time. And I found with Zepho, there is zero enticing factors here. Like, there's nothing enticing about it. I don't feel like I have to run after it.
And you know, I saw Bodhi put this in a couple of places, and it is a fair point. You know, we all were speculating on what the rewards were going to be for Zepho. And I don't think they were ever that crazy. I think the people that were thinking we were getting a new character, I thought that was crazy. I thought that was too much. But, you know, relic material, I think when people think about that, I think those were tempered expectations. But I think it seems light. And you know, we'll get into some of the details for this. But I just, the level of effort required to get there, I don't see the payoff. Now, again, I would much rather have them start the rewards low, and they do seem to be listening lately. They seem to be asking a lot of questions and then listening to the feedback and then making changes. It's always easier to go up than it is to go down.
Yes.
So,
agreed.
Yeah. Let's kind of jump into it. So, Zepho is the new bonus zone in territory battles, and to get access to it, You need to unlock the planet every territory battle. So this is not a one-time thing.
Right.
And to do so, you need 30 people in your guild to beat the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the mission takes a Relic 7 Seer,
mm-hmm.
Cal Survivor, or Jedi Knight Cal Kestis.
And do you take, because I know you've done it, right?
Yep.
Do you take a full squad with them, or is it just the two?
No, just the two. Yeah. And you are not, while they're the two required characters, they are not forced into slots. So it's going to be any level of kind of mix or match. Although and what's interesting is, yeah, neither one of them are Jedi via the either direction. But having run the mission, you're going to need Jedi Knight Cal Kestis, and you're going to need his Zeta. His Omicron and his leader. I think that's going to be the minimum to kind of get you in the door from that perspective. So
because he's the one that's going to do the work in that mission.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially in the second leg of it, it's a second sister and two of the purge troopers.
Oh yeah.
And mm-hmm. you got to get her off of the map, which, oh wow. So the fact that you can carry the insta kill from wave one into wave two means she's off the map right away.
Oh yeah. You don't have to build it.
Yeah. And she's the one that really kind of ramps up damage really, really quick. So he's going to be the requirement there. I mean, yes, it's possible that I think people are going to be able to get through it with the other two that have been around for a while, but I don't see it happening.
Right.
Now, once you get there, there will be three new combat missions.
Mm-hmm.
One is open. Two is unaligned force users, and the third is a forced Jedi Knight Cal Kestis. I don't think we get a lot of details around what the missions are. Oh, and there's a special mission for clone troopers, which we'll see in a second. 100% is going to require Rex.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with you.
Because what they said is there's an important note for players. Combat mission one in the special mission, both features combat against Tomb Guardians, which mm-hmm. cannot be defeated unless they're stunned.
Oh.
So what's going to be interesting here, like, is this Bad Batch and is this Rex clones to do these two? Because you need something that's going to generate a ton of stuns.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. That's what it is. And we'll start to get some data kind of rolling in on this, but to get there, you're going to need 30 members in your guild to beat the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Rewards. Again, this is where it kind of breaks down for me. 150 Mark III guild event for rank one, plus 20 Kyrotex. Reward level two will give you 300 Mark III guild events and another 20 Kyrotex of the other side. And reward three gives you one star. And to compensate for that, they actually stuck a star on the end.
Right.
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
20 Kyrotex of each type, it's nothing to shrug your shoulders at, but 450 get three.
Mm-hmm.
That in like $7 gets you a Subway sandwich, and that's about it. You know, I just don't think there's a lot to it from a reward perspective.
It's just disappointing. Like, I had this conversation on Monday night with a couple of guys, and I was saying we were speculating about what we would like to see in the reward chest, other than like just making it three stars, for example. And I was like, it would be really cool if they did something to, like, signal data now is a huge crunch. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't super far away from the Leviathan requirements when they dropped, but I wasn't also super close to them either, right? I had quite a few characters I needed to not only gear to gear 13, but then also relic all the way to relic 7 or relic 9 or whatever the case may be. I am not done yet. I have Sith Empire Trooper is my last one. The only thing stopping me is signal data.
Yeah.
I have all of the relic stuff waiting. It's just the signal data. And I was saying, I was like, how cool would it be if we got something that had like a chest that had like a little bit of signal data in it and like something like that. It doesn't need to be a ton. Like you don't need to be like, oh, you get 100 green signal data.
Right.
Like make it 20, like make it the and somebody else commented this on my YouTube channel earlier today. And they said, like, make it the equivalent of the assault battle reward.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I think that's great.
That's a great summary. So,
like, that would be something that is slightly different from stereotypical territory battle rewards and also is enticing because that is something that we are crunched on now.
Yeah.
And yes, I will be the first to admit Cairo is still a crunch. I feel that all the time, but I'm not enticed to chase a planet just for Cairo.
Yep. And I think that they, I'm going to get shot when I say this. I think they've solved the Cairo problem only because they've made all of the other gear much easier to obtain that you can now dedicate your energy towards Cairo.
Yes.
Like we don't need another source of Cairo. I know that people could always use more, but I don't need another source of Cairo in the game. To your point, I need sources of signal data. I need sources of relic material to get me to where I need to be.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I feel like they had a really cool opportunity and they just didn't really do anything with it. That being said, you're right. Like they are listening to the player base and taking feedback. So, and this is also the first bonus zone. So they could have just set the bar here and wanted to see how people reacted.
Sure.
And then maybe they'll do. And they do say that, that, you know, like the rewards for Zepho aren't necessarily going to be the same rewards for other bonus zones. Yep. So it could be different. My question about this, and I know I've said this to you already, I've mentioned it to a couple of people because it's not explicitly said. And I know other people have asked this as well. When they first talked about bonus zones, they said that the bonus zone would remain open because it's a dead end on the path, right? Like it doesn't, you don't go into the next planet after it. Basically, if you open Zepho, Zepho opens during phase three, assuming you do a phase a day. That means you have access to Zepho and to, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the friggin'.
Is it Braca is what it's attached to?
It's so Braca is day two and then day three, you would have Zepho and whatever the light side.
Kashyyyk.
You have access to both of them. And then Kashyyyk keeps going, but Zepho is dead end. But they said that Zepho would remain open until you gain a star. So it's like other zones where you're preloading. And you can purposely like wait and then gain two stars instead of just one. Because there's only one star to gain, does that mean if we accidentally crossed over the reward one threshold? So if we accidentally got 140 more than 143 million points, can we keep going? Because we technically haven't gained a star.
I think we can. Like I because they called it a star, I think that's the
right.
That's the point. I think basically once it's open until you max it is probably the way that, that the way that I look at that.
Right.
But again, sometimes words are hard.
Right. So like I'm curious, maybe that is the intent and then the coding is just like, oh no, you hit the reward threshold.
Yeah.
So you're hooped. I just wish they would have clarified that again in this post. That's the one thing that they didn't talk about. And I don't know if that's because they think that they've already clarified it. But they kind of haven't because they're categorizing it as rewards, not stars. Yeah. And it's just this really murky gray area that I would like them to be more clear about. That being said, because it's so meh, I will tell you that we have briefly discussed it as officers. And for our guild, so for our guild for reference is 530 million GP. We get 36 stars. We are not actively pushing, because I think we all kind of feel like there's a point where you have to have time management in this game, and it is easier on us as a guild to just say, you know what, go in. If you want to do combats, cool, definitely deploy, do your platoons, and we can coast and not lose stars. So that's where we are as a guild. And we have talked about when we open Zepho, which is not going to be right away. We're not going to get there. We're not going to get 30 missions complete. So it's probably not going to be until September or October. But our initial thought, at least right now, and this could change by the time we get there, is Zepho just becomes basically another zone for us to dump GP in, to deploy into while we're preloading other zones. So, because there are times where we have to close deployments and people don't get to deploy at all, because we don't want to go over that threshold, right? And now we can be like, well, I'll just go dump it in Zepho.
So here's my issue with going to Zepho.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less about the rewards aren't that great, but there is a full set of platoons that we need to chase out of this as well. So there's 45 new characters that need to be platoon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all light side.
Yes.
And they are a lot of really good characters in that list.
Yeah.
What happens in 3 months for a guild that is pushing in that direction?
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, though, they're in a spot that they have to decide, am I going to take a character up to R7, R8 for a platoon, or am I going to work on getting another, maybe my fourth team ready for the crate raid so that mm-hmm. we can make a push towards 410? Like that's my frustration with this, because as we just got done talking about how signal data is being squeezed so hard right now.
Yep.
Where do I put my resources and what's better served? Because I would argue that you're better served at crate, because crate gives you more ability to do other things.
Right.
And if I'm losing Jedi Master Luke, I mean, there's a legitimate chance that in 3 months that your guild could unlock the crate mission, or excuse me, the Zepho mission, but you're in a scenario that you don't have both Kenobi and Master Luke.
Right. So my thought on that is kind of breaking it down into how do you go about doing, how does your guild do territory battles? So the way I'm thinking that we are going to do this, and again, 530 million GP, et cetera, et cetera. So this all depends on how your guild breaks down. And for reference, before I even say what I'm about to say, we can fill all of the platoons up to the Relic 8 tier. Yep. So the first four phases, all of those planets, we fill all of the platoons on. So we have all those characters reliced appropriately. For us, there is a considerable amount of overlap. There actually isn't very many characters that we need that are outliers. Okay. We've already looked at them. I think it's, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I want to say it's less than 20. Like, it's actually not that bad. However, that being said, because the zone stays open, and it's Relic 7 requirements, what I would look at doing is if you can do the battles in Zepho on day 6. So for us, for example, on day 6, our light side characters are basically not getting used, because we hit Ring of Khafrin, which is Relic 9. Tons of us don't have a full Relic 9 squad. So a lot of our light side toons just kind of sit there. So what I would probably want to do is preload your characters into platoons on day 4 or day 5 in Zepho specifically. So say it's Jedi Master Luke. Preload him on day 4. So maybe on day 4, sorry, you don't get to use your Jedi Master Luke for whatever reason, and or Han Solo or Cam or whoever it is. Leave your one character out per squad, so you're not filling the platoon, and make it a character that nobody cares if they're gonna have to load it on the same day they do the battles. So make it Jedi Consular,
sure, right?
Like, you know what I mean? And then on that day, on day six, when you're doing the battles, you'll have access to Jedi Master Luke because you platooned him on a different day.
Fair enough.
That's what I would do. Granted, I understand that, you know, there's going to be guilds that don't get to plan it that way because of how their mapping is based off their size and all that kind of stuff. But that's what I would sit down and do and try to figure out so that you're not screwing over a ton of people. Because in my opinion, if you are unlocking Zepho, and you do want to focus on it, you might as well just go full tilt and go for all three rewards, right? Like, I don't, if you can, that is, like, I don't see a point in being like, oh, well, we'll just stop at reward one. Like,
the one, I don't know, piece I want to argue a little bit about that, though, is there will be 9 people through this process that are going to lose a team that they can do missions with, because, but, and there are some, there are leaders, but because it's not heavy on the Galactic Legends so far through this, that you might get a suboptimal Master Luke squad or a suboptimal Kenobi squad, but it can carry you through really all the way up to Kashyyyk and kind of pass that on the light side. But when you start pulling out those Galactic Legend leaders out of that, it's really hard to make a valid Jedi team.
Yeah.
It's really hard to make a valid kind of Galactic Republic team without Kenobi in those pieces. And I just, it's going to be interesting to see what happens as people are feeling that. Now, again, part of me is also thinking like, well, we need everyone to get through one wave in a lot of these days. You know, if you can go 1 for 2, we're in a pretty good situation. But, you know, losing Jedi Master Kenobi really for a lot of people represents losing an entire team.
Right.
And I wonder what that kind of pressure is going to put on people's rosters, because again, it's, it's hard to justify then building. If you don't have, say, an Omi Finn squad ready, your resistance are Relic 12. Well, now does it make sense for you to actually dump a bunch of resources into that so you can actually use them as a team? And I'd argue, yeah, it's a great team through all 5 phases, but are you better served putting those resources
somewhere else? Right.
Like that's where this, I think that it's going to be interesting to watch what this does to team economy for a lot of people.
Yeah. Moving
forward.
And honestly, I think the solution, and I don't even know if this is the solution, the only solution, but a solution that's kind of popping into my head hearing you say that, because that's a 100% valid point. And you and I have talked about that tons. Using like Jedi Master Kenobi as the example, I think, or actually let's use Jedi Master Luke as the example, because following the light side path, there are battles that are Jedi specific versus open to light side. And the reason why I want to point that out is because I know for me, once we hit the Relic 8 planet, I can't do the Jedi combat because I don't have, or I can't do all of the combats there because of how my teams are reliced, that it makes sense for me to spread my teams out across all the phases, the zones. Yep. I don't do the Jedi mission there. And every time I go there, it's like grayed out. I don't have enough characters. So in that case, because I can't do it, does it make more sense to micromanage the players who can't do that and tell them, since you can't do that Jedi battle, go platoon your Jedi Master Luke.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? And like, but then again, you're putting in a lot of now management time of like, of, you know, literally telling your specific people in your guild, you need to do this on this day, even though everyone else is doing this.
What I think this, again, this kind of, it's funny work, because I used to have this concept in the previous territory battles of unused characters.
Yeah.
Build teams around characters that are not used for platoons that you don't need in places. And then this one, this kind of, this territory battle came into play, and it, that concept went away because the way that they kind of peanut buttered a lot of bad characters because they wanted you to throw relics at people. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it as much. But I think we're now starting to get back into that. Just look at slot one. It's 9 Jedi Galactic Legends. You've got 2-3 Reys in there. The Ben Solos are that is what it is. But you know, I've been waiting for the Zeffo thing to happen because I've been trying to decide what's my next, you know, above Relic 7 thing to work on.
Right.
Because for me, is it Kessel's the last planet that we get to in mid? Or in, yes. In the, so I shift all of my light side teams
to mid.
From Kashyyyk to mid.
Yeah.
Because they're R8 and I can handle that there. But if I may be losing characters in that space, like now it's like, oh no, it needs to be Omni-Fin needs to go from R7 to R8 because he can shift off in that direction on that side. So it's going to, again, I think it's going to change what a lot of people's maybe high level plans were in different places of how they kind of want to build those squads up from that side. So,
yeah. I will say the good thing with these platoons is there are no new characters.
Yes, which is a big deal.
Yeah, that because you know when territory battles launch, when this one was released, the cutoff for the characters in platoons was Aphra. So yep. Theoretically, Aphra on, they could have added to Zeffo, and they did not do that. So if you're working on those characters, that's kind of a good thing, because you know they're not getting pulled from platoons here, which is nice.
Now, what's interesting is if you look at Zori forward.
Yeah.
You need you're going to need to use 3 of the Cal Kestis characters on Zeffo because there's the unaligned light side unaligned force users, which is the massively weaker side of those two.
Yes.
So you'll need that. And then you need Cal Kestis in a mission. And you're likely going to need Rex on that special mission because you're going to need another source of stun on the team.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting. But now it should be pointed out. And again, I appreciate that they stated this and it's in writing, which means it will never burn them because they said it. But Cal Kestis, they said, will never be required as a platoon in territory battle because they want people to use the Omicrons.
Right.
So don't worry, put him on. You'll be able to use him 6 days in a row. That's kind of what they're saying right there.
Yeah.
And again, I appreciate that for the feedback point. So.
Yep. Agreed. Okay. So that was Zeffo. Is there anything
else Zeffo.
We want to hash out about it?
I don't think so. I think we hit all the I think the good news is we have a framework for what it's going to look like moving forward.
Yes.
So I think that's going to help people make decisions.
Yeah.
When the next character that they start talking about being tied to this, like I wonder if you know the holiday journey guide character will be another planet type release.
Okay.
You know, is the journey guide when they're going to add new planets to the map? Or maybe we'll see this with a Galactic Legend as well. Who knows?
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, because I guess we don't know what planet is coming next.
We don't.
Man. All right. Okay. So the next thing, though, that they did in the title update, fleet management.
It's here.
Squad loadouts. Fleet yep. loadouts. So they said they were going to do it.
They did it.
Yeah. It has been a long time. long time coming. I'm glad they did it. I mean, I don't use squad loadouts and fleet loadouts. So like I just go in and I manually select everything. Because I am a creature of habit.
Yeah.
But I'm happy it's there because everybody has wanted it.
Yep.
And I will say I will probably use fleet loadouts or start to use them, even though I don't use squad loadouts only because I hate the like act, the pre-populating ship nonsense. And like you clear it out and then you change your capital ship and then it repopulates everything again. It's like, just let me pick the whole thing in one shot. That's what I'm going to like about it.
So it's funny. I was thinking about this. I don't need fleet load outs, plural. I need one fleet load out where I can put every fleet that I use into a single page. And then I can just select those because I don't mix and match and fleets doesn't really, you don't really use that in anything. You know, it's
right.
Here's like the seven fleets that I use. And now they're just always built and I can go in and select them.
Right. So, exactly. Like here's your empire. Here's your malevolence, et cetera. Yeah. And just pick the one that you pick the leader basically. And then the fleet will follow.
I'm going to make fun of whoever from CG, though, generated these screenshots because clearly they don't play the game because no one runs more than five fleets in a or five ships in a fleet.
All right. It's true. It is true. Oh, man. And then they also added, like, at the same time, the relic level for the pilots, which nice. I think is a nice little touch.
Yeah, it is.
Again, not asked for, but appreciated.
It's there. It's one of those, and I don't think this is why they did it, but it's the, we gave you what you wanted. Please stop asking us about it. You know, it's like, we're starting to kind of get to a lot of those, just like, we get it. We're doing it. You know, and again, it'll be timely when we get the next ship coming into the new fleet, when the Leviathan finally kind of makes it to the game from that side. So,
yeah.
Then we got territory battle stat updates. I'll be honest, I forgot that they told us they were going to give this to us.
So did I.
Because it's such a... And again, while I'm in the TB officer chat, I am probably more of the like, hey guys, this worked. Don't ask me to do any planning. I'll tell you guys what everyone should work on in the future. But... I don't think that this is something that we really need to chase down much anymore. I kind of get the impression that because we've just hit that ceiling for where we're at. Now, this may be huge for other people. For us, I just don't see this as being a massive piece outside of, again, finding out who the real slackers in life are.
Yeah, I think this would have been really, this is going to be really good for a couple of things. It's going to be really good to automatically know who has failed special missions if you track that. If you, especially if you're like, oh, we mandate, like, let's just call a spade a spade, we mandate streaming for Reva, and five people didn't stream and two of you lost and no one wants to admit who it was, guess what, you don't get to hide anymore. And before, neurotic people like myself would have to stay and constantly refresh and refresh the screen and look and see who just deployed a squad and did the special mission number go up and all of this kind of fun stuff, to manually track who was completing missions and who was failing them, which I got eerily good at, by the way. like, not to toot my own horn, but I was very good at knowing who failed before the phase rolled over. And now you don't have to do that.
Yep.
And then obviously this is also going to make planning, if you are redoing like your map or anything like that, a lot easier.
I agree. Yeah.
What is really interesting, I was talking to Strange in our guild, who is one of the devs for Hot Utils, and he was saying on the back end, it looks like they rejigged a whole bunch of data that they're collecting and making available because they're now able to pull a whole bunch of data that they couldn't pull before. Really? Yeah. So it's going to make planning for territory battles really fun. And like, because beforehand, you would go into Hot Utils and you would see how many combat missions we got per combat.
Okay.
And then you'd have to kind of extrapolate like, okay, what was the success rate on the combat mission? It was 73%. Okay. So that means we did this many waves roughly. And like, you're kind of trying to do loose, weird math. And I wasn't super awesome at it, to be honest with you. So I kind of like lowballed and guesstimated because it was really hard to do that math. But now he's like, they're showing you like waves per zone, per combat by the players and like all that kind of stuff that they weren't showing beforehand.
So what would be interesting, and maybe need to poke with either poke Strange on this or poke our friends over at swgoh.gg, but with that new data, is there a way that they could provide paying customers, because I think this is something that people should pay for,
yes,
paying customers a historical view of their personal territory battles performance, like fill in the spreadsheet I use to track myself.
Yeah.
You know, because like part of the problem is like all of this, it looks like this data's there, but 24 hours later, it's gone. I can't go back and review anything from that point. So like, are they able to extract that out and then dump that into my profile so I can actually see how I've done territory battle over territory battle? Because, you know, there were, you know, I've been as high as 107 waves, but I did 89 last time, you know,
right.
And part of that was because I just, this is dumb. I hate it. And I just stopped, but, it would be interesting to see that again for folks that are just trying to track how they're getting better, kind of where they can do a little better. Because I stopped using my spreadsheet. There's no point in it.
Yeah, I
now because we've hit that plateau and there's nowhere to really go.
Yeah.
So
that's a good question. But yeah, I will say I like this change. I like that they're giving us more information. Yeah. I would have liked it more at the start of territory battles.
Yeah.
Only because we have plateaued. Like we've hit that ceiling. So now I'm kind of like, well, I don't really need to chase anyone. Like we just are just like, hey, go deploy, please. Like, please don't make me chase you to go deploy. And that's it. This does make me hopeful that they will also revamp tools available for territory war. Not that I care about territory war, but just in general, like just revamp it, give more information to people. I think that would be good.
So there's a question about this in Discord question corner that I'm going to hold on to that thought for a second.
Okay.
I do want to point out, again, as I was picking on the screenshot for the fleet loadouts, whoever got the territory battle stats screenshot,
mm-hmm.
man, they are good at Star Wars names. Like those are some real like Star Wars character names.
Yeah.
That was a good job. Like, spot on right there.
Oh man,
Tyrick Thorne. That's a that's just a good Star Wars name. Man. Yeah,
good job.
Nice job. Yeah, that's some like those are some like deep cut like Legends era backup character names. Like that's a phenomenal job with that. So that was the territory battle stats.
Yes.
Then we got the ones we weren't expecting.
I know. And these are kind of nice. They're really nice.
Visualization turnover, I love.
I think this is great.
I love it. I'll give you the best example of where this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Ray mirror matches.
Yes.
Do I go into alt now or do I wait?
Yes.
That's just being able to answer that question.
Yeah.
Is huge. And I know, and there was someone that pointed out in our guild that the way that certain characters and teams manipulate turn order,
mm-hmm.
you see too much bouncing. And I get that. There are certain teams it's not going to work well on, but there are other places that when you absolutely need to know,
mm-hmm.
in particular on the raid.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge deal.
What I really like about this, and what I'm going to use it for in particular, is same sort of idea as like what you mentioned with Ray and stuff. It's like, I always would look at the enemies and be like, which one of you, because I like to run teams like control teams, right? And especially like for conquest, or if you are focused on just getting through cleanly, I'd be like, which one of you is going next? Because I want to know which one of you I should stun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, it's a great, great question.
And now I don't have to guess.
Yeah.
Like, that's fantastic. This was a pleasant surprise.
And I'll be honest, I'm expecting a lot out of the really smart kind of theory crafting folks that will watch that, you know, move by move and what happens in that. And they're like, oh, if you run these five characters, this character 5 speed more than this one 6 more than this one mm-hmm. 17 more, that is the perfect turn order that will always let you get something done, because that they can use that again as part of the kind of the math to make that happen. I just think that we're going to get some really, really awesome things coming out of that.
Mm, so. That's a good thought. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
But I like it. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm glad it's there. I'm glad it's also there for everyone, because I think in the data mine, people were thinking it might've been tied to like the tutorial for new players. And it's nice to know that it's not.
Yeah.
And you can close it. So if you don't want it there, you can just...
Actually, the flip side of it, I would love to find out how you actually make it open permanently.
Right.
And then you can disable, like, it's like the toggle for buffs.
Yep.
I either want it toggled on, or I want, like, for me, I always want it on. I don't want the extra step of clicking it on.
I feel like they could just add a button up there, add a TM circle. And if it's green, it's always on. And if it's not green, it's always off.
All right.
DG, take my ideas. Yeah.
Meathead, let's get a survey out. Ask us if we want a button for that, and then turn it on in 2 weeks, because you guys are doing a great job with that stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, so that's there, and it works in fleet and
it does.
Squad,
yep.
So
yeah,
also fantastic.
Which just a note of that.
Yes,
my fleet is significantly better than most of the people in my shard.
Okay,
and. There's the person that is typically in front of me on my climb. There are times that his part of the Profundity fleet goes before mine, and it irritates me because I should always be faster. but what was funny is I was watching it today, and it was like they got the first turn, and then my ship went in front of their ship every other time after that. And just like, oh yeah, all right. So I lost a coin flip, and then I won every other race for the rest of the fight.
Right.
All right, I feel better about this.
Oh man. Okay, and the last thing, which I don't think anyone thought they were actually going to do. By the way,
I thought they were going to do it. I didn't think they were going to do it like this.
I know that, like, we've all been telling them to do it and like asking for it. I just didn't think they would actually do it. Like, I thought they would just be like, no, there's no way for us to really figure out how to make it happen. And they did it.
Yo, we got Simming and Conquest.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, so, okay. Like, it doesn't work for feats.
Yep. Which it shouldn't.
No, I totally agree. And it's for the Datacron nodes. So you can't like sim your way through the sectors. So and it's not locked behind a pass.
That was the part that surprised me.
Right. I think that surprised a lot of people.
And this gets back to, because I watched it somewhere else today, and someone was talking about how, again, with the CGs just out to screw us over.
Right.
I don't, after watching the last 6 months of kind of this survey, positive change, survey, positive change, something like this that everyone was saying that there is a monetary value I would put on this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, 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 we're just going to give it to you. These are people that are putting in significant effort to make the game better. They may fail at times like that. Mm-hmm. But in the intention they're putting into the game right now is to fundamentally make this a better game in the back half of the decade that it's existed. Like that blows my mind that we're at this point doing these things.
It's just so nice. So like you said, it doesn't count for feats.
Yep.
It doesn't use stamina because you're simming.
Yep.
So you're gonna use your energy. And you do have to manually win the node one time. So,
but it's not 3-star, correct?
It doesn't say. It just says you have to manually complete the node once to access simming on it.
That's, again, and I think everyone assumed it was going to be 3-star the node, and then you could sim it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just live.
Yeah, just finish it. Just take, if you don't use the consumables and you're not sure if you can beat the node, use your consumables and beat the node.
Yeah.
I think what I like about this the most is this means that if you don't red crate in Conquest, for example, say your roster isn't big enough or whatever the case may be. If you know that you're only certain, if you know that you're only shooting for a specific crate in Conquest, whether it's crate 5, crate 6, yep, whichever one it is, once you hit that point now, you could go in, or even before you hit that point, you could go in, start simming your Datacron nodes,
yep,
and not have to worry about, you know, losing or risking it or whatever, yeah, the case may be. And I think it opens up engagement to Datacrons to a lot more players.
Yes. So if you think about it in the context that, like, the person that runs through Conquest with Jedi Master Luke and Rebels, you know, right, those are the only two teams that I have. And now you could theoretically dedicate one refresh to just doing Datacron nodes and not impact your two moving teams, because, like, I actually heard someone say this, like, I'd love to farm the Datacron node, but the only teams that I have that can beat that are the two teams that I need to actually advance through the map. Now they can keep advancing and you can dedicate maybe a refresh to getting Datacron material. And now all of a sudden I can start playing in the Datacron space because, mm-hmm, I'm not having to worry about managing stamina so I can go back there on the other side.
Right. Yeah. That's another, like, really good point.
So, you know, it's what I, this would be an interesting topic for you to do a video on, is there a philosophy now that can be built around a 6-month conquest cycle with a Datacron focus,
yep,
rather than focusing on red, you know, getting the character in red crate? Like, does that 6-month window open up a lot more opportunity, but then allow you to start maybe climbing in Grand Arena that, mm-hmm, through the use of Datacrons from that side? And what is that like? What does that strategy look like? Is it gold, silver, you know, whatever down the line? So,
so I will tell you that I already know the answer to this. the answer is it in terms of getting the character in 6 conquests. And, yeah, the only reason I know the answer to this is because I've been talking to Xerath about it, because he started playing his small account, yeah, again, his Prevail Man one. And he has to play catch up on conquest. If you buy the $10 conquest pass,
okay,
you only need to get gold crate, which is crate 5.
Yep.
And you will get the conquest character in 6 conquest runs.
Okay.
So, which means you never have to deal with proving grounds. So if you don't care about getting the conquest character right away, you could go for the 5th crate and then just sim the rest of the energy. And the 5th crate is I think it's 465 key cards.
Yeah.
400 and something like that. And then just sim the rest of your Datacrons away. And I mean, Xerath is Xerath, and his brain works the way his brain works. It boggles me. But he is climbing in Grand Arena with that account again. That, yep, account has sat stagnant for close to a year. So he's missing a lot of characters on it and catching up, and he's climbing again on it. And I think a lot of it has to do with Datacrons.
And that just makes me, again, there's a ton of things, you know, crit rate is making leveling characters a lot easier, but at its core, crystal income, especially 4 to 6 million, is so critical to being able to get into that catch-up mechanic. And if Datacrons, if like two level six Datacrons can be the differentiator between what you do and everyone else, like, are you just better served kind of pushing down that path of that side? Because,
right,
you know, Malak's a great character, but is a gear 11 Malak that much better than anyone else in that area? But a 15% health and protection Datacron on three characters probably stonewalls your opponent.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's a very difficult bridge to cross from that side. So I think, again, I think this is a phenomenal bonus. You know, I listened to Solo say it, and I'm basically going to repeat everything he did. But, you know, the idea that I can get to Red Crate in typically 6 or 7 days,
mm-hmm.
and now I get 50 minutes back first thing in the morning for the next 7 days while I just hit the sim button.
I was saying this to Zareth because he was asking me, he's like, how much are you going to use this on Professor X? Yeah. And I'm like, I follow such a meticulous plan when I do Conquest because I am playing it on two accounts.
Yeah.
So it is time consuming. But I'm also playing it on two different accounts.
Yeah.
Like the tools that I have are not the tools that he has, and vice versa. So there's a lot of stamina management happening, particularly on
yep.
his account. So I don't finish Conquest in a week. I finish Conquest in 10 to 12 days.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time I'm doing those global feats or sector feats on the Datacron node. So I have to manually play it, which is fine. Yeah. But now I'm like, do I rejig my brain here so that I can finish Conquest in a week?
Well, let me make another suggestion. So on those accounts, you're only doing the 50 refreshes, right?
Yes.
So now I think there's a huge argument to be made because stamina's off the table.
Yes.
Do you spend the hundreds to on do Datacron. Refresh, to do data to do Datacron refreshes, because yeah. it doesn't screw up your stamina pace?
Well, and that's the thing is, Ando actually mentioned this too. He only does the 50s. And he said, he's like, I'm going to do the 100s now.
Yeah.
And I wasn't before. And because I can sim, I'm going to do the 100s. So how many people are also going to do that?
So think about it this way. If you do the 100s for 3 days.
Yeah.
And it gets you one win, it's essentially paid for itself.
Totally. That's a great point.
Not really, because it's 900 versus 200, but that's where you start kind of getting into this, is that it's the, you know, spend a little to make a little on the backside. Does this, and yeah. again, does it start giving you a competitive differentiator for people that don't listen to the Hollow Table News Network to get hard hitting Conquest details around these things? Like, you know, are you going to tip the scales in your, you know, in the balance on your side? What this probably means is for people like me that aren't good at the game, they just mm-hmm. tend to spend more than everyone else. I'm probably heading to Kyber 2 pretty quick, you know, right. because people, it's going to allow some of the people that are smart and efficient to catch, mm. you know, dumb and scattershot like me. So, and again, it's bound to happen inevitably, but yeah, I think this is a really big change. And it's, again, I think the other what was interesting about this, and honestly, the turn meter or the turn meter pieces, these are typically things that we would have gotten in a State of the Galaxy to talk about what they were going to do, rather than, these are really big changes to just show up without any
yeah
kind of thought behind it or any kind of announcement behind it.
Yeah, they just did it.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about it.
Nope, I'm not mad at all. I'll take it any day of the week.
Yeah. So that's everything.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess I'm going to say this because it's there, or it's not there, actually. Grand Inquisitor is not back.
I don't know if I care.
It's interesting. I mean, fair. It's just interesting because I think they knew that so many people were like, okay, Grand Inquisitor is coming back. Like, and they just didn't acknowledge it at all. And granted, I can understand people's frustration. I'm not dismissing it. I think I would not necessarily pick up my pitchfork yet because we're still in that, like, it's around the 1 year mark right now. It's been like just over a year. It was June 24th, I believe, 23rd.
I thought it was in July because I thought I went on vacation in July last year and I had them.
It was definitely in June because I remember, man, this is going to sound so lame. I remember I was on my honeymoon. I was in Rome. I remember being in Rome and reading how many people were complaining about how hard the event was. And I remember being like, I don't care. I'm in Rome. anyway, so I know, and we were in Rome from June, like, I don't know, 21st to 24th or something like that for a few days there. So it was somewhere in there that it dropped. So it's only like a week-ish overdue. I think once we hit the like 2 to 4 week mark, I would start getting real mad.
So I personally, I think that he was delayed past Cal because they didn't want Grand Inquisitor and Cal at the same time.
I can kind of see that. The only thing though is like the event isn't necessarily like right now for Grand Inquisitor, it would just be a like, okay, you're in the journey guide now.
But a lot of people, because a lot of people have been waiting for it, I think it adds extra noise to what should be a very Cal-focused.
So maybe it's right next now. Week.
Yeah, it's. I think it's probably the next marquee update, which probably should point out there was a data mine
that
happened. So they data mine, and again, it's kind of weird because in the Cal event, you fight, I think it's Talon Marikos is the guy's name, but he is a Jedi that has fallen from Jedi Knights, the first Jedi Knight Fallen Order. Mm-hmm. And he is a Knight Brother. So he leads the Knight Brothers on Dathomir and that. But he showed up with some of the assets that look a lot like marquee releases.
Yes, he did.
And so I think there's a belief that he's coming in as the next marquee character. Potentially the next conquest character, which we should get next week.
We should. I am torn on this because so there are a couple of things that Sig Sig did point out on his server. There was no relic amplifier data mined for him. Which granted he could be reusing one that's already in game. There's also no pack data mined for him and or pack artwork. And he was like, all of the marquees lately have had pack artwork. So there was that, which I thought were two good points. My hesitation on the conquest thing is we never really find out until the Wednesday before. And they have to do an update on that Wednesday. Because that's what turns Conquest live. That's what puts the character in game into our rosters to start collecting shards. And he's not there yet. So we know there's going to be one on Wednesday. And I know a lot of people have been like, but it's July 4th next week. Like, Wednesday's July 5th, people. Yeah. CG better be back in the office, okay?
Yeah. And so there's also another explanation of why he's in there.
Okay.
I'm going to get very technical for a second.
Okay.
Someone typed get add star without paying attention to what was in their local configure or their local code repository and pushed out some artwork and some character things earlier than was supposed to. And then they approved it and it rolled out early. There is a chance that that's just all that this is. that it was some missed QA, and it got through. It also could be when characters are getting added to the game like this, maybe there's some assets that come along with it, because he's in the game. Like he's fundamentally in the game. You had to fight him. There are abilities defined as part of that. And I think I saw somewhere though, that in some of the material that they found, that there were 5 abilities associated with him, but in the event there's only 2.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. Who knows? Speculation wise, there's some thought that he's a turd polisher for Maul and mm-hmm. Savage. Because you can make an argument he's Sith.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the conquest character that becomes the sea turd polisher, or the sea lifter. I guess the sea lifter. I think is probably the better way to say that. So. We'll see where it shakes out from that side. So, because it's always been, well, what's C's lifter? Well, any Sith that makes him better,
yep,
becomes a lifter. So, did they take this as an opportunity to kind of slide that through and make it work? So,
yeah. Okay. I think we kind of did the Bantha in the room because we were negative on
Zepho. We were. And my joke was really bad because my Bantha in the room was Zepho, more like Dumbo, am I right? And that was just so bad.
No. I've just been making so many Zepho puns with Xeris lately, like for weeks before the title update came out. We'd be like, Zephinately, like just being lame. I'm like Zepho, more like Zero. Anyway,
so can I actually take this as a second as you mentioned Zareth?
Yeah,
I did submit my roster.
Yes,
you for did. Roster review. I just think that you guys should make fun of all of my bad decisions. It would be different, but I think it would be fun.
I fully intend to. Yeah. FYI, and I'm not going to warn him. Crap, I'm just realizing I'm saying this and I'm not gonna warn him that we're doing your roster before we do your roster.
It's just gonna show up.
I'm just gonna have it show up. I think that will be the best way to. I think it'll be fun all around that way.
I just love listening to him, and I was like, he's like, well, if you have this, you better have a really good reason. But I'm like, well, I do and I don't, so that'll be fun.
It's gonna be great. Okay, so Zepho, blah. So let's talk about what we like, what we love. Yeah. Yay.
So what brings you joy in the Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes these days?
Oh man, I was really, really, it was wishful thinking. I was hoping I was gonna make it for Cal. I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying. I will say I really am enjoying though, like they do seem to be focusing on PvE content.
Yeah.
Which is great. I love PvE content, so I'm happy about that. And it just makes me feel like I just feel like content in the game. I don't feel pressure. I also like took a few territory wars off. So I feel like I'm like, okay, we're good. We can play the game. And I feel like there's a good balance right now. And I'm sure I'm not going to feel that way soon. So I'm going to just let it soak in for now. I'm just liking it. I wish all of the PvE focus would stay.
Yeah, because I can do that on my time, not someone else's time.
Exactly. And I don't have to like be like, you called this counter and I don't have that.
Yeah.
Oh, you called that. I also don't have that one. Yeah. Can you call something I have?
I have an R8. Mm-hmm. Night Sister Initiate. What does that do? So.
Right. Oh, you called Night Sisters, but mine are crap. So, man. Okay. What are you loving right now?
So look, we were talking about what I'm playing around with the Phoenix, last week, and I've done this a bunch of times. I love the show. I love the team. I think there's such an amazing, compelling story, especially that last season where it all kind of comes together. And I didn't start putting resources into Phoenix in the past month because I thought anything was going to happen. But the fact that Rex is going to come in and it's going to make them good again, and it's going to make them, and they're going to work here. They're going to be very, very specific. It's not going to be an everyday team, but I just love the fact that they're good.
Yeah.
That, because I love that as like that, that's really good Star Wars to me. And I'm really excited about that. So, you know, the Rex thing was a complete surprise for me. I never thought that we were really going to see the existing characters be good again. And I'm just glad to see that we're just going to find a reason to use them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's
excited about that.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. We're going to do Discord Corner.
We are, but so because we haven't done it for so long, man, y'all are really out of practice because we've got to scroll through a discussion now to find these things. So we'll start, you know, I'll start scrolling through these and try and keep up. I'll hit you with the first question. So what we got from Boxing King is what will be more helpful in GAC, Leviathan or Jedi Knight Cal?
I mean, I guess it depends on the player. I always say fleets first. I think Leviathan is going to be more helpful.
I do too. I think Leviathan is going to be the gamble. Do I put it on defense?
Yes.
And stop them, or do I bring it on offense and beat theirs?
Right. Right. Like, it's going to depend entirely on who you're facing.
Yeah. So I think that Leviathan is going to... Cal will be great. But Leviathan's going to be, he's going to rule the shard for, he's going to rule the game for probably 6 months is what that's going to look like. So,
yeah.
And then the follow-on question is, will the Leviathan be able to beat the Dark Side Fleet mission in Rise of the Empire?
I think so.
I hope so.
They've known the Leviathan is coming since before territory battles dropped. With the way that they do things. So I'm sure they designed the kit in a way to beat those missions.
Yeah. Man, Boxing King just had 1,000 questions about the Leviathan. And then his fourth one on this, I think it was the third or fourth one, is we're going to skip the things like, why didn't you name your child after BB-8? Or Mulpokey asking, why do birds suddenly appear every time I'm near? Now with Cal and Leviathan in the game, what's the next big thing, both in Conquest and for GLs or the next meta unit?
Oh man, I have no idea what to expect in Conquest next. Like, no idea.
It's going to be, so we're moving into the Malak timeframe. I think this is like the Malak is about a year old at this point.
Malgus, excuse me. Yeah.
So
yeah, about a year old.
I think this is going to be a big shifting character.
Yeah.
What it is, who knows?
I have no idea. I wish I had an idea, but I feel like I have no, every time I'm like, oh, this is where you're obviously going. Then they go like, like, oh, sexy Rexy. Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
It's gonna stick. It's gonna stick.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. I have no idea. I think the only obvious answer is to go for Leia next.
Yeah.
I think it's almost insulting not to make her a GL at this point.
It's funny, kind of listening to some people make some Ahsoka arguments and Thrawn arguments. And there are other, look, you can argue Chewbacca at this point. You can argue Han at this point. I'm going to be a bit more different on this. The fact that we don't have a meta-defining female character in the game is a problem as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. And put aside for a second that she's a one of the four corners that the Star Wars table was built on. Like if you pull her out, the table falls over.
Right.
She needs to be there, but I there needs to be a she representation in that level of the game.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a problem if it's not her from that side.
I also just don't know who else you pick.
I don't.
Like, realistically, it's way too... People have said Ahsoka. It's way too early for it to be Ahsoka. The show's not even out yet.
Yep.
The show's not coming out. People have been like, oh, well, like, by the time the show's done, I'm like, the show's not coming out until almost the end of August. Like,
yeah,
show's not going to be over until middle of October at the earliest. So, no. And they don't turn around new characters from episode from like
yeah.
TV shows that fast. They just don't. So I don't see it being her. I don't see it being Thrawn because also the show's not Ahsoka's not yeah. done yet. Yeah, I feel like Leia just makes sense.
And so they've said that, you know, Dave Filoni's gonna get a movie, and who knows with everything that's going on with Star Wars right now. I think if we ever get an Ahsoka and Thrawn, it's going to be tied to that movie because the movie is going to wrap up all of these TV shows. And what I think we're going to find out in Ahsoka is that Thrawn is the big bad guy.
Right.
So it's probably going to push into that part of the story. And that's when it's going to happen for those two, is going to be tied to that movie. We're years away from them being, and rightfully so, they're huge pieces of the story from that side, but I think it's got to be Leia at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
So, what else do we have in here? So Bane, 7245, just good old fashioned Bane, mm-hmm. Asked, do we expect to see a rework to Territory Wars soon?
So there has been a rumor that Territory War is going to get revamped. And that has been going on for the better part of like 6 months.
Yep.
Like I was told about that months ago, and it just hasn't happened. That said, I think the answer has to be yes. Like it hasn't been revamped in a long time. It's the last of the things that have been revamped. It's the one that was revamped the longest time ago. And it's just not engaging right now.
So we should be due for a State of the Galaxy soon.
Yeah, I believe so.
And I think
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think we'll see it at the State of the Galaxy. We'll see an announcement around not Territory Wars, but Guild PvP. Like I think that it'll be a change to Guild PvP. That will enhance Territory Wars or replace Territory Wars from that aspect. So
I will say, and I've said this every single time I've been asked about it, the only thing I do not want them to do, because I've heard multiple people say that they want this to happen, and I do not want it to happen. I do not want a three-way war, like a three guild. No. They did that in DSA, in Disney Sorcerer's Arena, and it is awful. It is round the clock management on like the officer's side. It's disgusting. I actually, like, you talk about a way to burn people out quick. That's how you do it.
Not to mention, hey, we want to get rid of shard mafias. We just brought it into like guild PvP bullying. We're gonna gang up against you. Oh wait, they screwed us over in the middle of it. They brokered a deal on the backside of it, and now we're the target. So,
and that's exactly how it worked when I was playing DSA. Like you would see guilds just ganged up on one, and then at the very end, you would snipe in on the other one that wasn't being ganged up on, the one that was helping you, so that you would come out at the top.
And
it's just the management required for it, because kind of they did it in a way that was like more capture the flag style. So you take over a zone, you put your teams there, you take over the next zone, you put your teams there, but then the guild could take over the zone that you just took over. You know, you're going back and forth. So you're constantly having to be on, and it's just like, no, thank you. Anyway, just not that.
We got a couple of questions from Banjo. The first is, what do you make of the fact that CG has been putting out the surveys and, dare I say it, seeming to take actual actions based on them? This is question one. And then the follow-on question to it, and I think we talked about this a little bit, but also, how much more do you think you'll spend crystal-wise on Conquest with Simming? Are you surprised it's not tied to one of the passes? And he said that he is not. So I think we kind of hit some of those points as we talked a little bit earlier. So
I will say this though. I've been filling out those surveys. Yeah. Like every time I see them, I fill them out because I'm like, you know what? Maybe there's an idea in here that if you hear it enough times, Conquest Simming, for example, you'll implement it.
So I'm going to share probably an unpopular opinion.
Okay.
I know that there's been this kind of thread that, well, we're getting surveys now because they closed the beta program. Right. I think surveys are more effective than the beta program because the people that play in the beta tend to be higher end players that are trying to affect the game for the higher end.
Yep.
And a lot of things that we've seen kind of come out of the surveys, they're a broader approach to a wider piece of the player base. I will never go into a beta because I don't have enough time to sit down and do it. And honestly, to be good at a beta, you actually have to play. Like, and we do need that. We do need the person that gets in and like, yeah, this interaction is broken and I don't think you understand where that is, but a survey gets a broader swath of the player base. And I think that's how you implement larger changes for everyone else. And good software companies do that. Like, I think that this is good software. This is good hygiene that's coming out of those pieces. You know, what I think one of the ways that CG helps themselves is you randomly provide crystals when this happens. So it's like one of those, like, you know, hey, we've done like three surveys and we haven't given out crystals. Let's do it this time. So that people don't know when they're going to get crystals, but if they might, they also may actually go fill out that survey and provide them a little detail from that standpoint. So,
And the thing with the surveys too is like you can put your ally code in, maybe you get the crystals, but also on their side, they're getting and this touches on what you were saying with the beta program serving kind of like the high end.
Yep.
They're getting a broader scope of answers here now. So they can just go, oh, this ally code is from a 4 million GP player.
Yeah. Yep.
And he said the same thing as a 10 million GP player. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Like, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I think that would gives them more information.
So at work, I have been a member of beta programs for three of our products that we use internally. And I've been a member of those beta programs for, in a lot of cases, like 7+ years.
Mm-hmm.
I have never once provided them feedback. I did it because I wanted early access to new features in the software. And that's the other challenge I think that we have with the beta program is how many people were there actually providing feedback and how many people were actually there to give them a leg up into that. And again, if you want to do it, I don't care. You're never going to stop that. But I think this is what real feedback looks like as opposed to a beta program where it's they're either not getting what they wanted. And it's so I love it. I think it's great. Molepokey asked, why do you think that Grand Inquisitor going to the Journey Guide is taking longer than we might expect? I think we talked about that a little bit. I think it's tied to the Cal release. Voxen King, I am not even going to remotely give you the pleasure of answering the question, who's more better looking than Molepokey or Pico Burrito? You're just going to have to close your eyes and do the math yourself. Right? So let's see. Love this question. So a question from Bane. So I'll give you all three of them, but I love the first one. Which faction would you like to see get a new lifter turd polisher? Which faction would you like to see get an Omicron? And what is the old tune Omicron, or why has the old tune Omicron cadence slowed recently? That's a great question.
Ooh, that is a good question. Yeah. Okay, so turd polisher. Oof. Trying to think of what we don't use, really. Ewoks?
I think we're going to need an Ewok.
I think we are. I think that's the next choice is Ewoks. Yeah. Yeah. And what was the next one? Sorry, I already forgot.
The next one is what faction would you like to see get a new Omicron?
What faction do I use a lot that doesn't have an Omicron? I would like a General Grievous droid Omicron.
Okay. That's a pretty cool one. I would like to see a Jawa raid Omicron that turns them into a 2.17.
That would be good. That's a good point.
I would love to see that one.
Yeah.
Because while I like the split Java team, it's still a little bit more work than what I really want to do, right? So yeah.
And then in terms of Omicron slowing down, I think, I don't know for sure, but I think it partly has to do with the fact that we're getting so many new characters that have Omicrons.
I think so too.
I feel like the old characters getting Omicrons was kind of just like a, like, like, for lack of a better term, like a filler episode, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And now that we're getting new characters turned out with them, there's no sense to give it to an old character because you can wait and do that when there's like kind of a lull.
And I think we're starting to get to the point that there are so many available and that are still impactful.
Yeah.
That people are going to stop spending because they're waiting for the next one to come because they don't need them anymore.
Yeah. I'm sitting on 100 mats right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm at 120, I think. And it's, and I have a ton of them, you know, it's one of those pieces. So, I think they're going to be much more intentional.
Yeah.
I also think that the old character Omicrons as they get released are going to be really good. You know, they're going to be Savage level good because the Savage one was really good when it came out. So, all right. Then a bunch of weird questions about, we're just not even going to get into that. Like, not even questions, but then there was a bunch of jokes. Okay. I can't even follow. It got so out of control, some of this. So, Savitar, which lifter unit is your favorite? Jedi Knight. It's funny. Jedi Knight, Cal, or Sarah. That must have been to me. And then Ewok Galactic Challenge means Ewok Galactic Legend, right? So yes, clearly. No, we're not going to see a Ewok Galactic Legend. Wicket's already in the game. He's a legend in his own mind. But
I feel like if we got an Ewok Galactic Legend, the Ewoks would be mad that it wasn't C-3PO.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the first C-3PO Galactic Legend confirmed.
Yeah, done.
It's going to be Red Arm C-3PO, but they're going to make a bunch of references to Red, so we all think that we're getting Red 5 coming out of it.
See?
So,
yeah.
From a lifter unit, I like Maul as a lifter because I think Maul is just much more flexible with what he does. And I think that he's much more valuable in a bunch of game modes where Cat's a one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
Kill the thing you don't need, and then who cares?
I do like Maul. I am having a weirdly fun time with my Night Sisters with Marin.
Okay. Yep.
And like my Marin's gear 11.
Yeah.
Like I don't even have that ability unlocked yet that makes her like really, really fun. And it's just, I'm like, okay, cool. Like you're fun.
So speaking of Night Sisters, I put them in kind of that get everybody up to 6A and lock them thing with them.
Okay. Yeah.
It backfired. They don't die enough.
Oh,
I might
yeah.
have to actually like throw all their mods away and kind of go back to some hot garbage ones. My Marin also has the mods she got like rolled really high speed. So I think I have 5 20 plus speed mods on her, which is again, it's a colossal waste, but I'm like, but I don't want to have to go through and redo this all over again. So but and that was it.
Man, that's a lot.
There were a lot. I mean, I understand that folks are, you know, we would love to get back live. It's folks. I am stressful for Sarah while she's trying to put the Padawan to sleep. I don't know how she could do this in a live audience. Like I would hyperventilate and pass out through that process. So we need to get through newborns a little bit. So
Yeah, he's not on a schedule. That's the thing at the end of the
yeah.
day. So he does as he pleases, which is totally fine. And yeah, it makes things a little wild. All right, cool. So that's all the questions.
Yes.
Do we want to look at the fleet report one last time before Leviathan?
Let's look at it when they make the Leviathan announcement.
Deal.
Like,
And
yeah.
we'll just make a note
Yeah,
whether
yeah.
we record that week or not.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll just note it in there, so.
Okay, so let's do Uncle Owen's moisture farm.
Yeah.
So who are you currently farming? What
All
are you working
right.
on?
So New 52, I've finished off the rebel characters. I posted screenshots of that. So I am now down to 12. And seven of them are Ewoks.
All right, so
So it's time to start the Ewoks.
yeah, which will put you in great shape for Galactic
It
Legend
will.
Red C-3PO.
It will. I'm debating trying to gather all the resources and do them all at the same time. But then I went to Hot Utils and actually looked at how much signal data that I need to do that. I don't know if I can maintain interest long enough to pull all of that together. Like it's like in the terms of like maybe 14 or 15 days of just the blue signal data for the
Oof.
other ones as well. So we'll see how that works. It's also like way too many cheese danishes. And you know, because I'm not going to go all out at least on some of these characters until we figure out what the cadence is on the Galactic Legend. Captain Rex is on the back burner, working on gear on him so that he's there. And when the shards are available, I'll have them right away. So that's about it.
Nice. I am farming the Cal characters. I've
Okay.
decided since I'm not getting him first go, there's no need for me to be doing 15 sims a day.
Okay.
And especially because they're almost six star anyway. So I'm just doing the five freebies now. I think that will basically, even if I get, I calculated it, if I get, two or three shards a day, that gives me like a month and a half ish of
Okay.
time to get them up to seven star, which is totally doable before he comes back. Just Sith Empire Trooper left for my Leviathan requirements, and
Okay.
he needs 20 green signal data and 20 of the blue, like
Okay.
the higher tier ones. So like we're gonna be there in a couple of days. And then I don't know what to do.
So let me ask you about the Cal characters. Are you going to take them to R7 so they can do the conquest missions?
Conquest
I'm
ones
sorry,
or territory
the
battle?
territory battle missions, yes.
I suppose I could, to be honest with you. I
Okay.
hadn't really thought about it. My plan with the Cal characters was to take them all to gear 13,
Okay.
and then go from there. I feel like, I mean, Seer, I'm gonna have to because she's gonna have to
Yep.
be used for that mission anyway. So I feel like I might as well, I guess. And
The
then
only,
maybe I try the mission with regular Cal.
yeah, I guess the if you put the resources into Night Sisters is beatable now with Marin. the Tarful helps the Wookiee mission, but you got to bring a bunch of Wookiees up. So if you're not ready, right. there's a question there. Saw is not beatable. That's a waste as far as I'm concerned.
So then it's like, do I kind of just fill in a couple of gaps, look for gaps to fill in and sort of bide my time? Do I work on Rex, for example, because maybe he's going to be needed.
That's the really hard part to kind of think through is that. So Leia's a rebel. So is Red Arm C-3PO.
Yeah.
Because we're now going to start that rumor. so there's synergy from the faction perspective, but he 100% could be a red herring.
Totally.
I think what happens with Leia as a galactic legend is which of the two iconic states are you going to get her? Are you going to get her in camouflage? Or are you going to get her as a space wizard?
Right.
And based off of that, what new characters do you think that we're going to get for it? Now, I'm going to make two suggestions on space wizard Leia that I think would be phenomenal marquees as part of her kit. And the first is, and I don't remember their character names, but the older woman with the gray frizzy hair I think she'd be a great character. I don't know what you have her do, but she's recognizable from the movies. And then I think her daughter's character from those movies would be phenomenal. Like, to me, that would just be so stupid cool. And again, that gives you two marquee characters that kind of fit onto that. Maybe you find a way to wrap some other, maybe Zori slides into that team and it's like, it was the secret piece there. The other side of it, if it's Endor Leia, Han Solo in a duster has to happen.
Right.
It just does.
Which would be a marquee.
Yeah. And then what, do you get Chewbacca with a big slab of meat in his hands or something to that effect? So, you know, I just don't know where Rex fits.
Yeah. I think after this, I'm just kind of going to be in a holding pattern, which is fine. Because then I can just, and maybe we get like a State of the Galaxy or Road Ahead in July and I can see where to go from there.
Now, would you start throwing resources at Aphra and team in the, while you're waiting?
I'm still farming the, BT.
Okay.
He needs 30 shards, I think, something like that. Cause I basically paused farming him when I was rushing the Caltoons. And now that I'm not rushing them, I've gone back to him.
Okay.
I might. I don't know. I feel like she's almost perma back. Maybe depending on what we get, like maybe I just do it.
Yeah.
So
I think she's going to be back burner for a lot of people for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. So we'll see.
All right.
I guess that's it.
That is it. I mean, we put in 2.5 hours. I mean, although it was a title update. I mean, those tend to go a little longer, but I mean, it was a good episode for a Friday night. So
yeah.
Worth the wait.
Fantastic. All right. And then I guess the next episode, we will be in Conquest.
We will be in Conquest, correct.
So we'll probably have more, even more info.
Yes. At least someone should have, you know, well, we'll have new characters. I mean, that's the.
Yeah.
We'll have a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah.
So.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us this week. That ought to do it. Until next time, Chewie, we're home.